T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So we've been talking about, you know, as a parent, are you letting your child play tackle or flag football at the youth level, or are you letting them play either, which we've got one texter saying I'm not. Diesel, when it comes to football or soccer, how about this text question that we get in? If I'm 10 years old and I can kick a ball 60 miles an hour, what's the difference when I'm 20 years old kicking a ball 120 miles an hour? So he's effectively, I guess, stating, you know, as you get older, the rate increase, but is it a ratio? Now, if this is a Bill Nye the Science Guy question, I would look at you and go, well, it's twice as much. But no, I don't know. But I do know this much, Diesel. If there's enough force involved, the brain is going to rattle inside the cavity, you know what I mean, inside the skull. There's no way to prevent that from happening. And it can happen in, I mean, you go back and look at Dale Earnhardt. I've seen much, much worse crashes. I mean, my God, you know, even the fake ones in Ricky Bobby. But you go back and you look at that crash and go, wow, that didn't look too bad, but it was the fact it was kind of head on, if you will. And, you know, I think it snapped things. So there is no perfect answer to this. But, I'm like I said, we're seeing that limited. My question is once the juices get flowing with football, I really don't think there's anything you can do about it. You're going to have to put the pads on, and you're just going to have to go. All right, so we'll continue to reset that question. If you're getting off work, yeah, literally, why? What are you allowing your kid to play, and why? Diesel, you know, I've got one more day after today. On Monday, I'll be back at Smoke on the Water, and then Tuesday, I am flying out of town for the rest of the week. It's my final vacation. You know, my schedule's a little different this upcoming fall. And, you know, really one of the first things I ever did in this business 12 years ago, roughly, first big thing I ever did was ACC football kickoff. It was actually at Sawgrass in Jacksonville. Got to fly down there. We did not get to play the championship. This is how much it's changed due to Diesel, I think a lot of this is social media, the presence, the explosion of social media. But that first year that I went down there, there was a third of the attendees that they will see, Mark and Lonzo, in Charlotte beginning Wednesday. They're up there on Wednesday from 1 to 4 p.m. It's a much more intimate affair. They actually, you had one day off during the event that you went and played golf. I remember that's how my first ACC football player that I met was Patrick G, a safety from Wake Forest. He had about 2 years on practice squads in the league, and we still keep up with each other to this day. Poor guy. You know, talk about GMs having to do their job. The way that tournament was set up, Diesel, you had to use everybody's drive one time. Patrick, I think this was his second time playing golf. He managed to worm burn one about 150 yards down the fairway one time, and we went, no, no, no. We got to use that. That's the best one he's probably going to hit. You know what I mean? And even though we had one out there about 3:30 in the middle of the fairway, knowing we had to use one of his tee shots, we took one that actually ended up in the short grass. Now you don't get any golf. You don't get anything. The SEC Media Days is completely different from the ACC. The SEC has one goal and one goal only. Can we beat the previous year's attendance? All right. So they have you're in a room with players on a dais with 400 people in the room. And, you know, it's a little bit crazy. The ACC, they're actually walking you around and introducing, but it's growing exponentially. So, yeah, 12 years ago was my first one, and I've shared this story. I'm writing every little thing down. I'm afraid if I miss something, I'm going to be held responsible. I look over at this older man. He's chewing on the end of a cigar. It's not lit. You know how older men back in the day, Diesel, they just kind of chew the end of a cigar, almost like chewing tobacco, if you will. And during one of our breaks, I looked over and I said, yeah, he doesn't have a digital voice. I got a digital voice recorder. I'm a notepad. I'm in this room with Gene Deckerhoff and all these voices because at the time they didn't really know what to do with me. That older man looks at me and goes, son, I hadn't heard anything different in 20 years now. 12 years later, I'd make the exact same comment to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to hear it. If you hear something memorable enough,
you'll
write it down. I mean, you'll know if what we recruited pretty good this year. And, I really like the way the guys have hustled this year in practice. They've really developed a lot. Yeah. I mean, unless the coach says, man, we're going to suck this year. What are you going to write down?
1 year we had fun. All right. And I'm pretty much thinking one of my friends put the final nail in the coffin when it came to Butch Davis at North Carolina. Do you remember what I mean, Diesel? We're like a day or two after ACC football kickoff, and this one was at Pinehurst. When North Carolina decided that when they were going through all that stuff, we're going to take Butch Davis to ACC football kickoff. They realized it wasn't a good decision. They fire him like the day after ACC football kickoff. But I'm thinking one of my buddies pretty much maybe sealed the fate when he told us, and I'm not going to mention names, but he goes, I'm going to ask this question if y'all don't have a problem. And he told us what it was, and everybody said, let everybody get out the football questions before you ask your question. So when he gets ticked off and stands up and leaves, nobody's got anything left that they really needed answers. So everybody asks the football questions, and then we wait on this one guy who had politely asked us literally the day before if it was okay. And he looked at Butch Davis in the eyes, and he says, how is deniability an excuse for what has gone on at North Carolina? And Butch Davis's eyes go boom. I'm talking they grow three times the size of what they normally should do. And he sat there and he stared at this guy. And I remember looking over and going, holy crap. They were not prepared for this. You could see it in the sports information director's eyes. You could see it in Butch Davis's eyes. They didn't realize what they were getting themselves into. They make the move to fire him the next day. So we knew that was coming. That made that media days interesting. Because Diesel, have you ever been out with guys before, and one of them tells the rest of the table, I'm going to ask our friend this, and you know it's coming, and once it starts coming, your response is to do what I'm doing in a non-visual medium, start ducking your head under the table because you know it's going to be unpleasant. That's what that was. But that did make that interesting days, that media days kind of interesting. You know what I mean? All right, JP gets in with me. He's a Dolphins fan. You better be a Fins fan, JP, because that's what your Twitter address is. I have zero kids, but I've coached both youth tackle and flag football, and I would allow my child to play flag at the youth levels for girls and boys, but not tackle. Once in high school, I would allow tackle once the brain and skull has developed. Yeah. Interesting. Keep them coming. You can hit me at Twitter on Sturgis Sports. You can hit Diesel at Diesel on Radio at ESPN Upstate. And, of course, our text line at 71307. So let us know what you're doing because, you know, to me, one of the scariest things would be two young kids going up to try to head a ball and butting heads. You know, what would you do about that? So soccer has its inherent dangers as well. But getting back to media days, Diesel, that's one thing that the media is polled on is how you think it's going to break down. So I sat there last night, and you know what? I'm really excited about the opportunity to do something different this fall. We always need a relocation, you know, coming off the year and a half of surgeries and all. Gives me a little something else to look forward to. It's going to be different. But one thing I will miss when I go get on that airplane Tuesday is my buddies. You know, some of them I only got to see once a year at ACC football kickoff. So I'm hurting a little bit. I got to be honest with you. I'm hurting a little bit. But I figured what I would do in honor of media days, Diesel, is I would go through and treat it just like I'd be there next week, which one of the first things you do is you bet on what you're going to get. Like the Orange Bowl, they're going to give you a luggage tag. The Gator Bowl might give you a pin. Back in the day, you actually used to get a shirt or a hat or something. That stuff's really been nicked off. That's why you now take advantage of the snack station. You know what I mean? With all the snacks out, and sneak over there, grab some, put them in your briefcase, go home, give them to your kids, give them to your child, and your child thinks you did something special. You were thinking about them while they were out. A lot of people show up at media days, number one. Diesel, I cannot tell you how. What is one of the worst things you can do as a fan of a band, as a rock and roll fan of a band? What is it? It's like numero uno in the Bible.
You don't wear the T-shirt of the band that you're going to see. Everybody already knows you're a fan of that band because you're there.
All right. If we show up at ACC football kickoff, we are required to wear our ESPN Upstate shirt, correct? Because that identifies who you're working for, and that's the case with most. You actually have those guys when it comes to media days, Diesel. Back in the day, you were always given like a shirt from Under Armour with the ACC logo on it. Why? Because, man, you go wear that out in public, that's free advertising. Shirts should be required if you're attending something. They should give you one. Why? So you can go out and advertise for them. I cannot tell you, and usually they're within their first or second year on the job, how many people would go get their gift bag with their credential when they signed in and get their golf shirt with ACC on it, Diesel. Turn around, go into the bathroom, and put the new golf shirt on. No, you cannot wear the golf shirt of the media days that you're actually there attending. You can do it next year. Is a sign that you've been there before, but you can't do it the first year. That is right in there with PCU. No, you can't wear the – what was the name of the band? The Merkins in PCU?
I think
that's what it was.
Was it the Melvins? I don't remember.
The Merkins. But my point being, you'll have that guy that immediately goes and changes into this year's Media Day shirt, and you're like, no, man. You don't want to embarrass him, but you want to kind of go tap him on the shoulder and go, hey, man, trust me, people are going to notice that, and you don't. These are just, you know. Any way in life, there's kind of a seniority type thing, and you can always tell who's been around and who hadn't. So, when we come back, I'm going to give you my Atlantic Division vote for the Atlantic Coast Conference, then Coastal, and then we'll take a look at the SEC East and the SEC West, and in between, you can give us your takes at 844-GSP-ESPN. Our Friday question of the day: are you letting your child play you football, and is it tackle or is it flag, and why? Please hit us up, 71307 on the text line. You can give us a call at 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Hit me on Twitter at Sturgis Sports, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN. And then again, our website, ESPNUpstate.com. New content being loaded up every single day. ACC, here comes my media ballot when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Congratulations, former Clemson linebacker, former Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker, LaVon Kirkland, selected with Delia Arrington into the Clemson Ring of Honor, and that's as good as it gets over at Clemson. Of course, LaVon with the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame, our buddies Michael Foster and David Wyatt and everybody over there. So, I'm missing my first media days in 12 years. Yeah, you heard that. I get it. So I felt like what we should do today on our way out on a Friday free-for-all. Why? Because everybody's getting a long weekend in before media days begin, or I'm going to be on vacation next week. So either way, winner, winner, chicken dinner. But Diesel, when it comes to the Atlantic Division, and you can text us at 71307. You can get with me at Sturgis Sports. After you get the number one in the Atlantic Division, which is obviously going to be the Clemson Tigers, who right now, I'm sorry, it bothers me to say it. I wanted my school where I went to beat Clemson for the national championship this year, but they got some dude named Trevor Lawrence. And I am serious. I tried to tell people, especially when I got my really good first up close with them. the ball just makes a different sound when it's coming out of his hands. It's a generational thing. Now we're starting to see all the love being thrown Trevor Lawrence's way by the NFL, paying attention to him at the Manning Rookie, Manning Passing Academy. But Clemson is Clemson. They are obviously number one in the Atlantic Division of the ACC. Again, this is my vote, how I would write it down if I were there on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in Charlotte, or if I was there in Hoover for SEC media days as well. But in the Atlantic Division, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Until Clemson gets knocked off, until Dabo Swinney is no longer the head coach, how do you not take Clemson in that position? Now, you can make a case for four or five different schools here, Diesel, for that second slot. But I went with Syracuse. I'm a huge believer in Dino Babers. Now, granted, they lost their quarterback. But you know what? That's but one position on a team. You go back and look. Number one, Syracuse plays Clemson as tough as anybody right now. It's evidenced 2 years ago by the win on Friday night. And last year, granted, down to their third-string quarterback on Monday, but Chase Bryce leads them back with Travis Etienne for a win. But Dino Babers is a good coach. He gets people in the right setup. He can game plan, and I just think Syracuse right now has more upside than anybody else when it comes to the Atlantic Division. Number three is where my first shot comes in. Who would you think after going Clemson-Syracuse? Are you buying what I'm selling, 1-2 in the division? I got Wake Forest number three. Wake Forest got quarterbacks coming back. Dave Clawson is, granted Clemson beat him like a red. He started complaining about the band in the second quarter being too loud up at Wake Forest. Number one, Wake Forest, shame on you for letting Dave Clawson get to the point that he's complaining about Clemson's pep band on the other side of the field. But people forget real quickly, Diesel, it's hard to win at Wake Forest. Private school, smallest school, I believe, in all of NCAA Division I Power 5 football. Three consecutive bowl wins. Three winning seasons. Quarterback, players back. I believe in Dave Clawson right now a little bit more than I believe in Willie Taggart at Florida State. That's who I have fourth in the Atlantic Division.
I just want to know how long it's going to take Dave Clawson to parlay Wake Forest into a better job. You can't imagine that he wants to spend that much time in Winston-Salem. He is a very talented coach. And he has had he's had an upward trajectory in his career every 5 years or so, and if he can get Wake Forest to where they've been, there's got to be a lot of ADs looking at him saying, "Man, if he can do that at Wake Forest, what could he do for me here?"
I think there's certain schools because he is a football coach. He's not a salesman. He can have a little bit of a brusque personality, so he's not going to go up to Rutgers and be a rah-rah guy. You know what I'm saying? Something of that nature. Number two, I think you're right, because Jim Grobe is one of my favorite coaches to this day. He will tell you his biggest mistake was giving Wake Forest loyalty when he knew that 1 year that they made it to the Orange Bowl and won the ACC was as good as it was going to get. You know what? He actually was sitting there holding an offer from the University of Nebraska and did not leave. And then Jim Grobe's last job ended up being right there at Wake Forest. So know when to say when. See, it's not just applicable to what? Budweiser or whatever. Know when to say when. Yeah, I've got Florida State number four. I don't know what to think about this program. Number one, I think they're better than they're willing to admit. Number two, I think addition by subtraction in the fact that DeAndre Francois is no longer in that program. Number three, I believe they got better athletes than a lot of people want to give them credit for. But for whatever reason, Diesel, Florida State football is just, we've seen 40,000 season tickets drop to less than 25,000. That's big-time difference. That's fan apathy. And when fan apathy sets in, you better have a good season. Are you feeling confident? I love what James Blackman brings to the table as a quarterback from a leadership perspective for the Seminoles. But then I think they kind of almost did themselves a disservice after he ended up leading that team last year, despite what DeAndre Francois' bad attitude. Biggest question for me with Florida State is how does James Blackman coexist with former Wisconsin starting quarterback Alex Hornibrook? Because Alex Hornibrook did not take advantage of the graduate transfer to go sit on the bench his senior year in football. We'll see. And then, to me, we'll find out what kind of football coach Willie Taggart is.
I didn't think I would ever get to this place with Florida State, but Florida State is a wait and see. You got to show me. I'm not giving Florida State any benefit of the doubt right now.
Yeah, Willie Taggart, one of six coaches that Dennis Dodd had yesterday on his as a four, which was in after year number one. The program I'm being sold, Diesel, that can step right back up. They're kind of, you know, Clemson has lost waves. Think about this. They lose a defensive line that had, what, Grady Jarrett and Shaq Lawson and, Vic Beasley and all those guys. And you're like, wow, they're all competing in the NFL. They lose that. They just back it up with Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, and then that group. The school in the ACC, I'm being told, that's kind of reaching toward there is NC State, but I don't know what they have as far as replacing Ryan Finley. Let's see if they drop back. Remember, they had a bunch of guys that were so bought into their team last year when they were playing in a rather big bowl game for NC State against Texas A&M and said, I ain't playing. So let's see if Dave Dorn's personality has allowed him to recruit and them not take a big step back when they lose that amount of talent. I'm yet to be seen on that. But I could very easily, Diesel, in all honesty, I could flip Wake Forest and NC State in that 3-5 slot, put NC State at number 3 based off what I'm being told. But what Brant Wilkerson told us yesterday, and hopefully not in just a suck-up fashion to you, he thinks App State may have the best football team in the state of North Carolina.
Well, we're going to find out when they take on North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
All right. So, 6, I've got Boston College in the Atlantic. Number 7 is Louisville. And I'm sorry, Diesel, it is going to be a rough year for Scott Satterfield in figuring out who wants to be there, who doesn't want to be there, and getting that football team back in shape. You go back and watch some of the film of Louisville. Bobby Petrino should be kicked in the butt for even allowing a strength and conditioning coordinator to stay around. They were fat, they were slow, and they didn't care. I'm talking minimal effort whatsoever. So they should be better just by bringing Scott Satterfield in. But you know, in year number one, you got to find out who wants to be there and who doesn't want to be there. Boston College, we know, they're going to be tough. They got good running backs, but we saw Steve Azazio. I was sort of questioning, was he a 3 on that hot seat list? 3 out of 5. Boy, I tell you what, if Boston College, who I have at number 6, if they finish up there, then yes, he may be in trouble moving forward. So let's take a look. Tell me where I'm wrong. This is what I've got, okay? I've got for the Atlantic Division on my media vote in the ACC next week, Clemson 1, Syracuse 2, Wake Forest 3, Florida State 4, NC State 5, Boston College 6, Louisville 7. Listen, you can call and eviscerate me because that is some questionable stuff there at 2, 3, 4, and 5. But you know what? You can really take all those, throw them up in the air, and have just as good a luck in how they land is picking from afar. 844-GSP, ESPN, the Coastal Division. You think my Atlantic Division was wacky, Diesel? Then y'all might think I'm just trolling y'all when it comes to the ACC Coastal in 2019. Bring it to us straight up at 844-GSP, ESPN.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yep, it's a Friday free-for-all. The phone lines are open. You can give us your thoughts. Are you letting your child play tackle football or flag football? Because Union County actually voted yesterday to eliminate all tackle football till they get to junior high school. Got a text on the text line. It's 71307. Believe if I paraphrase it a little bit, he coached his son in youth league football from age 7 to 11. They played flag, and then moving up here, played tackle after that. So, listen, I was just shocked by the numbers saying that flag players had a higher rate of injuries and that the difference in concussion and other serious injuries were really no different at the youth level. You could have knocked me over with a feather when I found that one out. Also, just gave you my ACC Atlantic media ballot. It went like this. Call and eviscerate me. I'm cool with it because if anybody pegs it, they're a lot smarter than me. Number one, Clemson. Two, Syracuse. Three, Wake Forest. Four, Florida State. Five, NC State. Six, Boston College. Seven, Louisville. Diesel, like I said, I can sit there and give you a reason why I should move NC State up to number three or possibly Florida State. That's what I find kind of fascinating once you get past the top of the Atlantic. The Coastal Division, I woke up this morning after doing this last night. And again, I went to my first Shiva last night. Had nothing to drink, so you can't go stirred. You had too much Crown Royal or this or that. Had nothing. You, again, finding out that there were more serious injuries in flag football at the youth level than tackle football was kind of like finding out how my Coastal Division played out, Diesel. Of these teams, all right? Because I know you probably would have to sit there and pin it off, and I've just gotten 2 years removed from kind of doing that. The Coastal teams are Duke, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Miami, and Pittsburgh. All right? Duke, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, Pitt, Miami, Virginia Tech, and Virginia. Who would you vote number one out of that group? Off the top of your head, I know you're back there looking low, but again, who would you vote number one? Because this is a huge, huge one for me.
In the Coastal Division?
Yep.
Man, it's Coastal Division is, it's like a football gumbo. Everything's just all sort of mixed together in chaos.
So when I came up with Bronco Mendenhall and the Virginia Cavaliers as my Coastal Division champion, like I said, I thought I was hyperventilating there for a second or something, but Pitt made it in last year. It's 7-5. How come Virginia can't do it this year? Number two, Virginia's trending up. You know, the one of the biggest things we heard coming out of last year's ACC football media days, ACC football kickoff, remember Bronco Mendenhall told us up there, I bet I don't have 40 D1 college football players on this roster. They go on to win, what, 8 games, including a 28-0 shutout of South Carolina in the Belt Bowl. Granted, the score was a little bit misrepresentative of the game itself, but still a shutout over South Carolina. I got Virginia number one. I also think that's one of the sneaky good hires in college football in the last decade when Virginia went in and snuck him out of BYU when nobody thought he was even interested in leaving Brigham Young. So I got Virginia 1. Believe it or not, I'm not playing suck up. I don't want him calling in going, go you! And, you know, maybe he'll bring us a turnover chain. But Miami's got about as much returning in the Coastal as anybody else. I've got Miami number 2. I know I've got some serious questions about Manny Diaz and taking over as a first-year head coach. But he actually impressed me when he went out and got Enos from Alabama, and that's going to pay off there on the offensive side as well, especially at quarterback. Dan Enos did a fantastic job with working with Jalen Hurts last year. He'll do the same thing for the U. So I've got Virginia 1, Miami 2. God, never thought I'd see that happening. Number 3, got Virginia Tech. Man cuss Justin Fuente. He's lost a bunch, but I got the feeling they're going to be better. I tell you who had a rough year last year. It wasn't necessarily Justin Fuente. It was Bud Foster. Why? Because they had graduated a bunch and then lost some other pieces. Defensively, they were horrid. But you know what they did? They went and sucked it up and played young guys. And what's that going to do for you in the long run, Diesel? That's going to end up paying off dividends down the road. Virginia Tech's going to be better on defense this year than a lot of people think. And that's why I've got them number 3 in the Coastal Division. At number 4, I've got Pitt. Again, one of those misnomers, Diesel. You know what I mean? That's what I could say that about every one of these teams. I never thought I'd see Pitt in the ACC championship game last year, but there they were. Most years I'd put Duke a little higher than 5 because I think David Cutcliffe is one of the best coaches in college football, Diesel, but I think the loss of Daniel Jones is going to really make Duke step back. They don't have that traditional quarterback that you have seen come out of Duke, you know, the Cutcliffe passing quarterback, if you will, this year. Got a little bit more, but Duke's talent level's gotten a lot better, but I've got Duke number 5. North Carolina, number 6.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
North Carolina's season hangs in the balance in their opener. That's how critical. That's what I'm not kidding y'all when I say one of the most underrated openers of the college football season is that North Carolina-South Carolina game. If North Carolina can win it, man, they got Miami coming in. They close out the month of September with Clemson coming in. But, boy, if they lose that South Carolina game, there's potentially 3 or 4 losses before you get out of the month of September. And I think that also includes App State on that September schedule. Same thing for South Carolina with what they've got coming up. But I've got North Carolina number 6. But if they were to beat South Carolina, Diesel, I could make the case for why I could put North Carolina at 3 or 4. Because that team quit on Larry Fedora last year. And number 7, just because of the unknown. You would likely think that Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech has a much bigger challenge than we realize, and the fact that he has a different style of offense. He's coming into Georgia Tech that has been running the Paul Johnson triple option, and that may be very similar. Arkansas will be better. How much? We'll see, but Arkansas will be better now that Chad Morris has 1 year to weed out Britt Bielema's Big Ten offense and get his own phone and gun in, if you will. Same thing for Georgia Tech. I really think it's going to take a year to transition away from that Paul Johnson triple option.
Yeah, it's a pretty monumental undertaking to completely undo years and years of an offensive scheme.
Yeah, because number one, it's been recruited that
players
way.
Players are going to be undersized. If they're going to be quick guys, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if they're quick, small guys, they're just going to get run over.
Well, there's not enough of them. Listen, Georgia Tech, you go back and look at over the last day. I mean, they've had some great wide receivers from Roddy White to Megatron to all this stuff. Not all playing under Paul Johnson, but they've had some great athletes. But this just kind of looks like the 1 year that you use this phrase. And we used it for Chad Morris last year. I think we can pass it on to maybe Jeff Collins this year, trying to pound a square peg into a round hole. You know what I mean? And that's why Arkansas went through their worst season ever. But you know what? Chad Morris just had to suck it up and work with it. So, again, giving you the rundown of the ACC. Please light me up. Remember, we have open phones when we come back. But in the Atlantic Division, I go 1 Clemson, 2 Syracuse, 3 Wake Forest, 4 Florida State, 5 NC State, 6 Boston College, 7 Louisville. In the Atlantic Coast Conference Coastal Division, I've got Virginia 1, Miami 2, Virginia Tech 3, Pitt 4, Duke 5, North Carolina 6, and Georgia Tech 7. But the reality is, Diesel, once you get past Clemson in that one slot, you can take all the other names in the league, put a name, put one name on a poker chip, throw them up in the air, and however they land, you would have almost as good a chance of going with that order as anything else. We need to get out to break. Caller, hold through the break. We'll be right back. You'll be first up on the other side. This is Straight Up with Sturge, 844-GSP, ESPN. So we're taking a look ahead of next week's media days. Let's go to the phone lines. Connor patiently waited through the break. Connor, happy Friday to you, bro.
Hey, man, you too. Thank you. I just had a question for you. So let's say that you received a call from the future that said of the Clemson, the Alabama, and the Georgia games, South Carolina won one of those, but you don't know which one it is. Which one would you think that they won?
I would like to think
if
you
knew they won one.
It's got to be Clemson or Alabama because I would think Williams-Brice Stadium, it can get as loud as any place when that place is electric. The Georgia game is on the road. So maybe Clemson because you know what? they played Clemson better than anybody else did in the college football playoff. But you know what? You got a 14-point win over Bama the last time they came in. But that was a completely different South Carolina program. So I'll go Alabama on that one.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Because here's why. I think South Carolina's going to have a little bit better year than some of us think, whether record-wise it shows up, but their recruiting's gotten a lot better. Alabama, like I said, came in a couple of years ago, six, seven, 8 years ago, Stephen Garcia era, Greg McElroy era, got beat 35-21 in Williams-Brice, and it was just one of those days where it became frenzied in that stadium. And as a matter of fact, if you remember after the game, Greg McElroy, who was the starting quarterback for Alabama, who I love people hitting him on Twitter, Diesel. By the way, this is not a defense of anything that happened to be crimson and white. I love when he gives his opinion on Twitter as a national college football analyst and people tell him he's dumb. Your opinion's dumb. You're just a Bama homer. You don't know anything. You're just a former athlete. You're dumb. You know, that you always get that guy on Twitter, you know what I mean? Greg McElroy won the freaking Rhodes Scholarship. That's not a dumb man. You may not like his opinion on something, but you can't call that dumb. You know what I mean? So I love those guys that...
Let me introduce you to the internet, Sturge.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you not been in YouTube comment sections, on Twitter, on Facebook? Dude, it's a cesspool out there, and everybody's like, "Oh, I'm one of the nice ones." No, you're not. No, if you're in that comment thread and you call somebody dumb and you call somebody stupid or you tell them they ought to go jump off a bridge, you're a jerk, and those jerks exist across all social media platforms.
But I love the ones you're dumb. Yeah, I just happen to be an international Rhodes Scholar, but I'm dumb. You know, I bet you didn't take calculus in college. Oh, yes, I did. I saw somebody, literally, I don't think they ever knew what Greg McElroy did when he was a student. You know, you're this, you're that. The old assumption thing, you know, assume makes you, you know what. So, all right. So, gave you my ACC rundown, and you can get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. We'll reset our question of the day here in the 6 p.m. hour if you're letting your child play tackle or flag football at the youth level. But for the SEC East, again, they have a little bit of once you get past 1 and 2, anything can happen. All right. Here we go. Number one, until somebody else shows up in Atlanta, do you not go with the Georgia Bulldogs with an experienced quarterback with Jake Fromm, who's going into his third year as a starter? I mean, how do you go against Kirby Smart? Number two, I mean, there are a couple of – everybody wants to talk about how bad a call Nick Saban was on 4th and 6 or whatever in the Clemson game, and it was awful. But nobody wants to call Kirby Smart out for going for it on 4th and 11 at midfield tied with 4 minutes left in the game in the SEC championship game. Really? Really? Nobody wants to talk about that and then them not showing up in the Sugar Bowl. But I do think Kirby Smart probably has because of the quarterback. But I do like Felipe Franks. I've got Florida number two. You know, Felipe Franks can't make all the throws all the time, but he can make all the throws some of the time, and that's better. There are a couple of times that I look back last year, saw him throw an out pattern 20 yards down the field to the sideline and go, that's an NFL arm. There's other times that you go, oh, crap. But the one thing we know out of Dan Mullen, he could develop a quarterback, and I expect to see improvement out of Felipe Franks from the University of Florida. I mean, go look at Dak Prescott. Go look at Nick Fitzgerald. That is one thing Dan Mullen has done well in his time in college football is develop quarterbacks, and I expect to see an improved Felipe Franks. Here's the one that's going to surprise people. Kentucky. Everybody thinks Kentucky was a one-hit wonder. I got them number three because Mark Stoops is recruited better. The only reason they got a nod ahead of South Carolina in Tennessee was just simply the fact is until South Carolina can beat them. You know, I look at that game every year and mentally go, man, this is South Carolina's year. 5 straight years Kentucky's won that game. I don't know if it's mental. I don't know if it's physical. But we all expect now with Josh Allen and Benny Snell being gone, I'm telling you, Kentucky is recruited better than anybody thinks. And I think due to schedule, they'll come up three. I've got tie for fourth with Tennessee and South Carolina. South Carolina's the variable to me, Connor. And again, it comes back down to that North Carolina opener. And this is what I mean with that. Charleston Southern comes into the cockpit for a noon kickoff at Williams-Brice on September 7th. That is a win. Alabama, you would assume loss, but the two games that end the month of September are at Missouri, and we'll get into that because I've got Missouri 6 in the SEC East and obviously Vanderbilt number 7. But that two games right there at the end of September, if you beat North Carolina on August 31st and you get out of September with wins at Missouri, which I don't think is out of question, and then Kentucky at home on September 28th, it's a whole different ball game for South Carolina in 2019. If somehow, some way, North Carolina's better than we think and Mack Brown gets them back and God knows how you do in an opener, and South Carolina players, if they don't take pride on the field in that opener in Charlotte after what they did in their last game there, then shame on them. Maybe it is a must-champ problem. But I'm telling you, a loss to North Carolina in that opener, and maybe September gets away. A win, and you may be looking at 4-1. Headed out, and then there's that three-game stretch you got to deal with called Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee. So, again, that's why I say South Carolina, North Carolina, one of the more underrated openers in the country. Missouri, Diesel, what do you know about Missouri? Barry Odom's done a pretty good job. They developed quarterbacks. Kelly Bryant has obviously been bought into at quarterback. Missouri is actually sending the transfer senior quarterback from Clemson to go represent him at Media Days next week. So, you know, we know that he can develop quarterbacks, but South Carolina got him in the rain and the sun down there in Columbia last year in Vanderbilt, you know. They play tough. Derek Mason, he's gotten them to bowl games. But I still feel like with Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, Missouri, and Vanderbilt, same thing that we said about what we were talking with the ACC, Atlantic, and Coastal. For that 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 spots, you can throw them up in the air. However they land, you'll have as good of a case as any. But that shows some of the competitiveness as well. So when we come back, that leaves us one more, the SEC West. We'll hit that real quick. And then in the final hour, we've got some Major League Baseball. Remember, the second half of the season underway. And then finally, Nick Saban. Everybody's question is Bama done? What might be some of the questions Nick Saban gets at Media Days next week? All that coming ahead your way in the final hour is, of course, you got us right here in the Upstate. 97.7 FM in Greenville, 1330 AM in Easley down there, 97.1 FM, 950 AM in Spartanburg, always at ESPN.com. Plus, go to radio.com, download the app, dial in ESPN Upstate. You can take us wherever you go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.